I was about to say, hey, you know, children, you can go back to children's church now. Also, I know, like I said, Pastor does things differently. He has a method that he goes about. We're not exactly in that method. We follow our own course. Brother Terry is not pastor. I am not pastor. We are all individuals. I want to read the scripture that's on the cover of the bulletin that I want to bring your attention to one thing, a particular note. On the front cover of your bulletin says, "Our souls wait for the Lord. He is our help and our shield, for our heart is glad in Him because we trust in His holy name. Let your steadfast love, O Lord, be upon us, even as we hope in You." That's Psalm 33, 20 through 22. Now, on the inside, of course, there is the calendar. You can look over it. I have notes specifically about the coming week. On July 4th, which is Tuesday, there will be a barbecue at Robin Lou's home to celebrate Independence Day. You are all welcome there. And they put on a tremendous banquet there. Yes, and it's a great fellowship. In the coming week, Saturday, the homeless outreach at 9:30 a.m. 9:30 a.m. And where are we going to be making? Does anybody... Is that at Robin Lou's house again? Look at that. They're there for every season. And also, I also want to draw attention next Sunday in the service. Savannah and Paige will be sharing in the morning service about their recent medical missions trip to Honduras. Nice. Looking very much to hearing that. And also, in the coming week, because of the holiday, there is no Tuesday night prayer service or Wednesday morning ladies Bible study this week. Okay? Have a happy and safe 4th of July. Bulletin done. Whew. File that one away. So this morning I'd like to take a text from Matthew 12, verse 33 through 35. Matthew 12, verse 33 through 35. "Either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by his fruit. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things." I'd like to take this text and preach on a message entitled "The Good Stuff." The good stuff. And I would ask, Brother Terry, would you please pray over the message?
Father, thank you that we could be in your house today, Lord, to just hear your words of truth. Father, I just pray that Brother Nathan shares the words that you have given to him today, that it be anointed and that it be upon our ears, not to be returned void, but to do what it says. And we thank you, Father, for this time of fellowship. In the mighty name above all names, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Terry. You know, I got the inspiration for this message, believe it or not, from a country music song. Some of you are chuckling because you know the song. It's the same title, The Good Stuff. The premise of the song is this fellow has a fight with his wife. And he gets in the car and he drives away in a matter of anger and he finds himself in a corner bar and he walks up to the bartender and he says, "Just give me some of the good stuff." And the bartender looks at him and says, "We don't have any of that here." And this bartender in an empty bar tells him about all the good things in life, about their being with your wife, they're about raising your children, about all of the good emotive things that happen. They don't happen in a bar. They don't serve that there. And the admonition is to go home and drink up the good stuff. Be back with your wife. Forgive, forget, move forward, struggle together all of your lives. It's a really good song. You know, some people, "Oh, you shouldn't talk about secular music in church." Well, you know what? You hear secular music out in the world, right?
Yeah.
And it's something that people can relate to, right? I think in the years that I've preached about comics and cartoons and movies and all kinds of things. Baseball. Oh, Lord, I love to preach about baseball. I've talked about history. I've talked about all kinds of things. But these are the things that people experience. These are the things that people relate to. And if you read Christ's writings, guess what he did? If he was talking to farmers, he talked about farming. If he was talking to fishermen, he talked about fishing. That's what he did. He talked to people on terms that they could understand and things that they could relate to. What I'm talking about this morning is the good stuff. The good stuff. And specifically, the fruits of our tongue. The fruits of our tongue. And I want to draw your attention. I have quite an outline here, and that's kind of intimidating because I try really hard to pare it down and make sure that I'm staying on time. But God knows. I want you to draw your attention to the note of how explosive our tongue is. Our tongue, in James 3:5 says, "Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth." Your tongue can lay your course. Have you ever been caught up in something that you said kind of in passing and somebody reminds you of it? You said, I said that? Ooh. It's even more when God reminds you of something you said. God says, "You said." When I was younger, and I don't remember actually specifically if I was courting my wife or if we were already married, but it was one of those. It was a birthday or Valentine's or something, and I went out and shopping on a budget. I found this little crystal chest, right, and it was really pretty, right, and I bought it, and I came home, and I gave it to her, and I said, "Honey, this is a chest for all of your dreams and hopes. I want you to put all your dreams and hopes in this little crystal chest, and I'll do whatever I can to make your dreams and hopes come true." Oh, isn't that so romantic? What a good boy am I. Oh, yeah, I was pretty pleased with that, right? You know, made her weep a little bit. We still have that crystal chest, and all the little gold fixtures and everything have fallen out. It was kind of a cheap thing, but she still has a little crystal box there. But, you know, not too long ago, we were talking about how hard things were and stuff, and oh, it was hard and tough and thing, and guess what? God brought to mind that I said, no matter the cost, no matter what it takes, I will do everything within my power to bring your hopes and dreams to pass. Wow. Now, you know what? When I said those words, I meant them, but I really didn't know what it would cost me. I really didn't. You know, in your youth, you think, oh, everything's going easy and everything's fine and everything's going great. It don't always stay that way. But, you know, there's an organization, they were flourishing probably 10, 20 years ago. They were called the Promise Keepers. They went about, they had these huge stadiums full of men, and they were talking about men making promises and keeping them to their families and to God. We still need that. We still need that. That's right. The Bible has many things to say of our words. I'm going to Romans 3. Romans 3:10, and I'll be reading through 3:18. "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way, they are altogether become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulchre. With their tongues they have used deceit, the poison of asps is under their lips. Whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness, their feet are swift to shed blood, destruction and misery are in their ways. And the way of peace they have not known, and there is no fear of God before their eyes." You listen to these words, and he's talking about what you hear in the world constantly. You don't hear a whole lot of good. You don't hear a whole lot of joy. You hear bitterness. You hear cursing. You hear fear. You hear, oh my, oh whoa, what is this? What is that? I don't watch the news anymore. If I catch the news, it's by accident. Oh, I happen to hear what's going on in the world today. You know why I don't really follow the news all that much? Not a whole lot to hear that's good. If it bleeds, it leads, right? how do we get to that point? If it's not tragic, if it's not terrible, then we don't know about it. That's pretty depressing. But you know, Paul here in Romans, he's talking about the poison of asps is under their lips. Why? Backbiting, whispering, deceit, Why is that what is in people's hearts? I want to focus on the root of the issue here. More directly, how we can learn to have a long-term change in our conversation. This comes from dealing with the root of our conversation, namely our heart. You know, there's a phrase, let your words be sweet. You never know when you may have to eat them. Where do our words come from? Our text was Matthew 12. It says, O generation of vipers, how can ye being evil speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. The heart is the soil for our speech. Everything that comes out of your mouth comes from your heart first. If it ain't in there, it won't come out. It won't come out. You have to go to the source. You have to get to the bottom of it. You know, I was driving my kids and my family to church one night. The kids were all small enough to fit in the back seat, right? And we had stopped. I think maybe we filled up the car or something. But I kind of on a spur bought a bottle of Sprite. You know, the 20-ounce bottles of Sprite. You know, the twist off the lid. And I could hear my kids, Faith being the oldest, being the leader of the ring back there. They were talking about, you know, when you pop open a soda, it goes psh. But she was saying, well, you know, that only happens the first time you open it. And she's, you know, if you shake it up, shake it up, shake it up, and then open it, it won't happen again. And I could hear this thing going on in the back. I was like, don't do it. Psh, it was all over the inside of the car. It was on the roof. All the kids were like, ah, it's all over us, you know. And then we had to turn around, take the kids home, get them washed off. And I mean, I don't know, probably had soda on the back of my head and everything. But we ended up going to church late that night because if you shake up a bottle of Sprite, even if you've already opened it once, and you open it again, guess what will come out of it? A lot of Sprite. It's got that carbonation in there, and it's got a lot of sugar. It'll go everywhere and make it all sticky. You know why Sprite comes out of a bottle of Sprite? Because that's what's in it. That's right. Why is it things come out of your mouth? That's what's in your heart. You know, you can't spill something out of a glass or a jug or a jar or any vessel if it ain't in there. If it ain't in there. Every word that comes out of our mouth reflects our spiritual condition. It reflects our spiritual condition. This came to me and I just kind of penciled it into my notes. This morning, I got the national colors, the red, white, and blue, the stars and stripes, and I hung them up, and I hung up the Air Force flag. Give me the name of it again. The Air Force Sky or something like that. Sky Blue. I don't know. It's got the Air Force emblem, the logo. It's a big blue flag. I was in the Marine Corps. We have our old different thing. But I hung them. And I was looking at them going, kind of wrinkly. So I went in and I got the ironing board out of the closet. And got the iron out, turned it on. And then I took the flags down one at a time and ironed all the wrinkles out of them. Yeah, while I was thinking, you know, I was thinking to myself that I really find it offensive when people think that it's necessary to alter the United States flag. You know, they put it in different colors, or they'll put a peace emblem on it, or they'll write some political message on the white stripes or something like that. And it really bothers me. Because my mind says that flag stands for America and all of the thoughts and the values that America stands for. And if you can't find what you want in that flag as a symbol of our nation, personal opinion, you should find a nation in which you feel more comfortable and go there. It's Nathan's opinion. Well, I've seen people that they take it upon them and they think it's very patriotic. You know, I'm casting my ideology in patriotic terms. For me, that symbol of our nation is all about all of the values that people want to ascribe to it. Okay, wonderful. Don't need to change it. Don't need to alter it. Love it or leave it. Yes. You know what? I feel the same way about God. Love it or leave it. But you know what? I was thinking, as I was thinking of that, you know the words of your mouth are the banner of your heart? Mm-hmm. What flag are you flying when you speak? Amen. What colors are you showing the world when you open your mouth? Mm-hmm. You're showing them your heart. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Is your banner wrinkled? Is it stained? Is it tattered? Is it off color? What message is it sharing with the world? James 1:22. I'm going to read through James 1:24. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. You know, I've heard people preach about this. You know, you take it for what you will, okay? But this preacher was preaching one time. He said, I've noticed that big people, they tend to have small mirrors, you know? It just shows their face. Ooh, look good today. Right? And people who are lean and fit and trim, they have full-length mirrors, and they stand in the gym and go, ooh, look at that. Ooh, yeah, look at that cut. Ooh-hoo, because they like to see the whole picture, right? True. Have you ever been to a gym that didn't have mirrors everywhere? I don't think there is one. But you know what? A lot of people, they look into a mirror, and they see what they want to see. Depends on their attitude. Some people look in the mirror and all they see is all the things that they don't want to see. But you kind of trick yourself. You deceive yourself. You know, you look at your flaws or you look at your good attributes and you don't look at the total picture, right? I recently had a revelation. Somebody took a picture of me. And I looked at it and I was like, wow, that guy's fat. Whoa, my goodness, he's fat. Am I that fat? Yes, I am. It's right there in the picture. Oh, my goodness. Buttons on my shirt fall apart. Oh, my goodness. And you know, people, they see stuff like that, and you know what they'll say? God made me fat. God, why did you make me fat? Thank you, sister. God didn't make me fat. Who made me fat? One forkful at a time. That's right. I made me fat. God didn't do this to me. Who can change it? With God's help. With God's help. With God's help, I can. I could change that. I could eat less, exercise more. Wouldn't be so fat. I'm constantly amazed. It happens a lot in church. God did this, and the devil made me do that. What about you? Were you with your mouth all day long? Really? You don't remember that coming out of your mouth? But you know, the only person who can positively impact your lifestyle choices?
You.
You know the only person who can allow God to work in your life? That's right. You. God is all-powerful, almighty, is the creator of heaven and earth, and he will move heaven and earth on your behalf if you will allow him to. It's your decision. You have to allow him to do that for you, because he's a perfect gentleman. He won't do it without your permission. James continues, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he, being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction. And people love this. Oh, yes, that's true religion. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to visit the fatherless. I'm going to go to the afflicted. I'm going to do all these kind, good works. There's a and I have it in my notes in bold, italicized, underlined, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. You know, we're talking about my weight. You know what I just saw in the news? It's a radical realization. The more people eat, the sooner they die. Scientifically proven. If you decrease how much a person eats by 30%, these are statistics, you increase their lifespan by about 30%. Now, that's not true all the way down, because you increase it, you decrease their caloric intake to zero. their lifespan is greatly diminished. But the idea is, you know, if you don't overeat, you won't have metabolic disorders, you won't have all these things that go on in your life, you won't die as fast. Right? You know, I traveled a lot when I was young. I was in the military myself. And you know what? I remember going to McDonald's because I was picky, believe it or not. I didn't like to eat a whole lot of things. I would go to McDonald's as a kid and order a hamburger with nothing on it, just the bread and the patty, and I would put the right amount of ketchup on there just for myself because I couldn't stand to think that somebody would do it wrong. That's the way I was as a kid. That's not the way I am anymore. You can tell. But I remember going to Hong Kong and going to different parts of Asia, and nearly everywhere you went, guess what you'd see? The Golden Arches, that's right. Hey, I'm confident that I can go there and I can get something that I will eat and that it will be what I'm used to eating, right? Because I don't want to eat all those foreign things. They're all yucky, gross. But I remember going into McDonald's. First time it was over, first nation we visited when we left the Golden Shores was Hong Kong. It was still under British, it was still a British colony at that point. But I went into McDonald's and I ordered a meal, right? And they brought me this burger. It was about just a little bit larger than a silver dollar. And I'm thinking, that ain't a hamburger. That's like a third of a hamburger. And the fries were just a little tiny, tiny, tiny little bag, you know? There's like 10 french fries in there. I thought, I've been ripped off! What's wrong with these people? I'm used to America, right? Where you go and order something and you get a super size. In the Marine Corps at the time, they had combat size. So right. So you go and you get like two or three hamburgers, right? And then you get the biggest drink cup that you can imagine, like a 64-ounce drink cup, packed and overflowing with french fries, and then a drink that was that large, a 64-ounce, you know, soda. Yeah, I mean, you like consume all of this food. And you're like, all right, I'm full of energy. And we did a lot more than I do now. But in America, we tend to consume a lot more than we actually need. It's not that the rest of the world downsizes their meals. They're kind of more or less right-sized. Instead of eating a 2,000-calorie meal, eat a more reasonable portion. It's McDonald's fault that I'm fat. Nope. McDonald's don't put it in your mouth. You do. When you're walking around and you see a tree, how do you know what kind of tree it is? Mm-hmm. Watch it. If you're in doubt, oh, that could be an apple tree. It might be a plum tree. Wait till harvest season. See what grows on it. Guess what? It's a plum tree. How do you know? I thought it might be an apple tree. I thought it might be a pear tree. If it's got plums on it, it's a plum tree. If it's got walnuts on it, it's a walnut tree. A tree is known by their fruit. You know, what's the amazing thing is, you know, maybe it's a divine revelation to me. You know, I don't do a whole lot of shopping. My wife does it for me. You go walking through the produce aisles at Ray's or Safeway or Winco or anywhere you shop, you'll see more fruit than I even know the names of. Yeah. True. I can't even name all that stuff. What is that? I have no idea what you'd even do with that. Is it even edible? I'm constantly amazed at things like cashews, you know, because isn't it cashews, honey? The husk of a cashew is deadly poisonous. It's like poison. They have to, like, wear hazardous material suits to harvest cashews. That's amazing. Because the cashew husk, the things like a walnut, you know, you had to break, that stuff will kill you. And inside, you got this little curled nut that's super tasty. I like cashews, right? They're great, nutritious, they're like superfood. But I mean, whose idea was it? Hey, that thing will kill you. Hey, but let's see what's inside of it, and let's try to eat that. How did that come about? But that's kind of the nature of food, I guess. Man. Hey, he died from it. He died from it. He died from it. Well, what's inside of here? Let me try that one.
Amazing.
You know, our spiritual condition is recognized by our fruit. The condition of your heart is recognized by what comes out of your mouth. But there is an accounting coming. Matthew 12:36. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. Just words, Nathan. Just words, they don't mean anything. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. Simply put, bad soil produces bad fruit, and a sinful heart produces sinful speech. Why did that come out of that person's mouth? That's what they're rooted in. That's the soil they're growing in. That's what they've consumed. You are what you eat. You ever heard that? Nathan, your pepperoni pizza, exercise, supersized fries, what a gallon of soda. I don't drink my soda anymore, thank God. You ever been around somebody where they're so bitter? It's like, ooh, it's like licking a lemon. You make the lemon face and everything. You ever give a baby their first taste of lemon? And then usually it's followed by, give me some more of that. That was odd. Pickle, the first pickle. Pickle face. Wow. You know, to change the heart, you have to sweeten the soil. You have to feed yourself with the good stuff. You have to feed yourself with the stuff that tends towards sweetness. You have to get that goodness on the inside. And like any work anywhere else, you gotta want to do it. You know, you can get an awful case of the, I don't want us. That would take too much effort. I would have to actually do something. I can't just exist as I am. Whispering words of wisdom, let it be. Oh, I love the Beatles. I love the Beatles. That John Lennon, he was a great guy. He could write some songs. Yeah, if you want to just continue being the way that you are. What did it get John Lennon? Long, happy life, I'm sure. Not. Are you against John Lennon? No, no, no. I just that some people, they tend to take the little sweet notes and they idolize that. Yeah. Your life can't be built around sweet notes that are sugar-based. There's no substance there. It's all sweet, sweet emotive things. You need more than the sweet emotive things. You can't live on pure cane sugar. It tastes good. It'll destroy your health. You know, there are times when I got the don't want us. I don't want to go to the gym. I come home from work, and I'm working a lot these days. I don't want to go to the gym. I work nights too. So I come home at like 8 or 9 in the morning sometimes. I don't want to go to the gym. Bridget will say something like, so when are we going to the gym? Oh, I don't want to. Guess what? I've never yet been to the gym where I didn't feel like it did me good. I feel good that I went to the gym. I feel a little bit better. I'm still tired, I'm still sleepy, I'm still going to go to bed as soon as I can. But I sleep better if I've gone to the gym. The don't want us don't help you. You got to overcome your I don't want us. Psalm 51, verse 10 through 12. This is David. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. You can hear David's heart crying out in his words, God, help me through this. I have sinned. I am horribly transgressed against your law. I have done wrong. Create in me a clean heart. Restore unto me the joy of your salvation. Maybe you've never sinned after the way that David did. David committed adultery, and to hide it, he committed murder. Lied about it to everybody. Would have got away with it. Except for a prophet and came and said, you are the man. He portrayed it in circumstances that David didn't recognize, and he condemned that man to death. And the prophet pointed at him and said, you are the one I'm talking about. David's repentance is here before us. God, clean me, restore me, give me joy again. Literally, David was asking God to bring something new into existence in his life, a clean heart. David had had this experience. He had had a walk with God. He had done many things for God up to this point in his life. He'd experienced the presence of God. He had stood on faith in God's word. He had done all kinds of incredible things. I'm amazed that they haven't made a movie yet about David's life. I know they've made, you know, snips and snaps of his life. I mean, made a real movie about his life. I mean, that'd be great, epic. Bigger than anything you could imagine, I imagine. I mean, I've never seen a movie that could portray all of the great events of David's life. It'd be 9 hours long. Even if you hit the highlights. You know, any renovation costs you something. You just got to do it. You've got to want to do it. You've got to be willing to put forth the effort to make it a reality in your life. You can wish and dream and hope for a home renovation, but until you save up the money, call a contractor, or learn to do it yourself and put forth the effort, the expense, it ain't going to happen. Nobody's going to come to your house and, hey, Nathan, congratulations. Oh, wait, I saw a television show where they did that. No, I don't think so. Okay, one in a million. One in 3 or 4 million. Probably one in 100 million. Hey, let's remodel your house for free. Doesn't happen very often. It always requires something. And you know what? Even if they were going to remodel your house for free, guess what? I've heard one of the hardest things on a marriage is home remodeling. You got to go through some stuff. All the things that you're used to are now destroyed and you're displaced and now you're living somewhere else. And now you got all the stresses. Are we going to meet deadlines? Are we going to have this? Are we going to have that? Are we going to other? What color do we want that counter to be? Well, I've always liked granite. I hate granite. Why do you want to be granite? brings to surface all the little disagreements you have. It'll always cost you something. It'll always cost you something. God must be elevated to the ruler of your speech. And how does he arrive at that point? He's got to be the God of your heart.
That's right.
God is elevated by my understanding of my new relationship with him. Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. The price for a new heart has been paid. It's already been paid. It's already been accomplished. All you've got to do is take it and appropriate it to your life and allow that to bear the fruit that will come forth from your lips. It'll never happen until you make it happen. The new me, the new you, is to live in faith. 2 Corinthians 5:7, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Galatians 3:22, but the Scripture hath concluded all under sin that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. Galatians 5:5, for we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. By faith. The opposite of living my life and doing what Nathan pleases is Christ living in me. Because you know what? Nathan's flesh, says, give me another cheeseburger. Who's it hurting? Mm-hmm. But if I check out early, who's it helping? Who's it hurting?
Your family. People that love you.
Beyond Nathan, right? Hmm. I go home to be home with the Lord.
Good.
What's the cost of it? The opposite of living my life is Christ living in me. Is Christ comfortable enough in your life that He really lives in your life? Or is He just like company visiting for a little while? Don't let Him move the furniture. Don't change your meal plan for Him, you know, or anything. He's only visiting. Just passing through. Sunday morning, maybe. Maybe Sunday night. Maybe midweek service for a little while. What is your attitude toward Christ in your life? Is He welcome?
He's mocking.
Looking for love in all the wrong places. That's another song. You know, you can search the world and guess what you'll find? Temporary satisfaction for your desires, perhaps. Perhaps. At a cost. And what will you gain from it? Be lonely and full of despair. That's all you'll get. The good stuff ain't out in the world. If there's good stuff out in the world, it's because you brought it with you. I don't mean out in the world, the greater world. I'm talking about outside the walls of the faith community. If there's good out there, it's what you brought. That's your responsibility to. James 1:17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Are there people out there that would do some good with their life? Absolutely. Are there people who would sacrifice for others? Yes. You'll see kindness even in the darkest heart. It's just kind of swallowed up in all of the other stuff. If there's good in somebody, where did it come from? God. Every good gift. Every good gift. Every good gift. God is the focal point of all authority. You know, and this brings me to my third and final point. We've talked about the fruit of the lips. We've talked about what comes out of your mouth originates in your heart. The last thing I want to talk about is the language of God. What's the language of God? Is it a specific dialect? Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ which strengthened me. You know what? The attitude of the world is, if I put forth enough effort, if I do this, if I do that or the other, if I eat less, if I exercise more, I can get rippling abs of steel. Okay, maybe perhaps you can. Maybe. Maybe.
Somebody
else can. Fitness models, they do it. You know, the motivational pictures. Look at that. He's phenomenal. He's phenomenal. Look at all those rippling muscles. Christ's attitude is, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Is that what you want? Apply yourself in God, and you can do it.
Amen.
You can do it. If I have worked a change in my heart, if I have worked at placing God in authority over my communication, it is possible. It is possible. Not only is it possible, it is available. You can do it. God says you can do it. Romans 10:10. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You can do all the bad things that people do with their mouth. You can lie, you can deceit, you can backbite, you can murmur, you can do all the things that people do. Go to work. See people click up, and this person did that, and that person did that, and I'm the only one around here is doing anything. Oh my goodness. You hear people talk, they're the only person who shows up to work. And then, you know, you walk to the next person, they'll tell you the same thing. I'm the only one who showed up to work around here. Why, I should just slack off like everybody else. Wow, okay, fine, wonderful. Yeah. Why don't you worry about rowing your own boat for a little while? Please, do me a favor. You know, there was a time in my life when I was responsible for driving truck. Trucks, right? Big trucks. Special license, special training, you got to do that. So one morning I showed up to work, it was still dark. And when I got there, it should have been a clue to me, hey, the boss is underneath the truck working on the brakes. Uh-oh. Right? Red flag should have been going up. Woohoo, something not right here. So the truck itself was rated. It was a 5-yard dump truck. Behind the truck was a trailer, and on that trailer was a backhoe. And for a 5-yard dump truck, that's a load. What I didn't know, and what I should have done as a truck driver, you're supposed to check your load, right? What I didn't know was he had 5 yards of sand in the back of the truck. And underneath that backhoe, he had a 7,000-pound steel plate to cover the excavation we were going to make. So the backhoe would have been a load, the steel plate would have been a load, and the 5 yards of sand would have been a load. Guess what?
You're overloaded.
Way overloaded. And so I get behind the thing, and I'm following him up to the job site. We left near Tacoma. We're driving up to Bellevue, Washington. It's up congested freeways and stuff, stop-and-go traffic, getting a funny smell.
Uh-oh.
And brakes are cooking as I'm driving, slowing down, speeding up, slowing down, speeding up. So finally we get up there. We're getting off the exit. And at the exits in Bellevue, Washington, it's like you get over to the right lane and 2 or 3 lanes go down, you know. And it doesn't just curve onto the road. You come down there and then there's 2 lanes going each direction, right? So I just get over the beginning of the downstep of the off-ramp there. And I may be going 30 miles an hour. And I just touch the brakes. And I touch the brakes a little harder. Touch the brakes a lot harder. Pretty soon, I got my foot all the way to the floor and not going slower, going faster because I'm going downhill. And, as soon as I tried to pull it out of gear to downshift, it was so tacked up so high, it was governed, you couldn't get high enough to get the next lowest gear. So now I have no way to slow that thing down. And I can see there's the red light down at the bottom, and my boss has stopped in front of me, right? 2 lanes of traffic, completely unbroken, going 45, 50 miles an hour. Well, the brakes do you no good. There ain't nothing, right?
So,
yeah, I'm thinking, I'm about to die, because on the other side of the traffic, there's a big, big steel barrier. So if I go through that thing going 50 miles an hour, I'm sitting on top of all this and slam me right into that wall. Yeah, he was in front of me. I had to push him. You know what I had time to do? I did not have time to pray. Thank you, sister. But that would have been a good idea if I had thought of it. If I didn't have time to do that, I tried the shift. I tried the brakes. I tried to do everything I could think of to do. Now I'm thinking, oh my goodness, what am I going to do? I'm about to hit the steel wall with 55,000 pounds of steel behind me. What did I do? This is what I did. Jesus! Serious. And I screamed it as loud as I could, like God needed to hear it, because I am in desperate straits, right? And now this is, this is what happened. I got to the bottom of it, and I snaked around my boss, because I didn't want to slam him going 50 miles an hour. And I'm going into a T-intersection with unstopped 50-mile-an-hour traffic going that way. So I cranked the steering wheel. I'm going both hands, and I'm pulling on that steering wheel. I jackknifed that truck. I'm still going through the thing. It's bouncing sideways, right? And it's going around. I go across 2 lanes of traffic. Nobody hits me. I didn't hit anybody. 2 lanes of traffic coming this way. I'm all the way over, bouncing and skittering, right up to that steel barrier. Didn't hit it. And so now it's pushing me back still, because it's still pushing me, right? I'm jackknifed, and it's pushing me around. And I see this box truck. And we're about the same height, because he's up, you know, in a box truck, like a moving delivery van.
His mouth is wide.
His eyes were the size of dinner plates. And he's like, you know. And I'm coming right for him, you know, head-on collision, right? And I don't know how. He got by me. And I'm swinging on the other wheel, trying to straighten out the jackknife. And I end up like maybe 100 feet down from the intersection, in the middle of four lanes of traffic going 50 miles an hour.
Wow.
And I've got serious adrenaline shakes, right?
Yeah.
I've got...
But you are alive,
I, and you know what I did? I reached up and I grabbed the airbag. Psh! And you know what happened? Nothing. Kept rolling. At least I was rolling straight down the center lane. Do you know what Jesus means? Do you know what Jesus means? Savior. God is our salvation. When you need something, you only need to say the name of Jesus. You may end up praying for more than that, but do you know what you really need? You need Jesus. That's right. Mark 10:27, and Jesus looking upon them saith, with men it is impossible. Do you think Nathan is a good enough driver to have done all of that and not hit anybody? And nobody hit me? And I'm not dead? I remember my boss climbing up the side of the truck as it's still rolling. Wow, you did a good job, good job. And I'm thinking, I just looked at him like, I don't know what you're thinking about, man. That wasn't a good job. That was the scariest thing I've ever experienced in my life. Thank you very much. He's the one to put me in that situation. My responsibility to check the load, but he's probably thinking, he just saved my job. And probably saved his life, too, because I didn't push him into the steel barrier. When with men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God, all things are possible. Things can get difficult. The way can be hard. But if you ever knew God, or if you've never known God, the answer this morning is the same. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus is the answer.
Amen.
And I'm closing. Philippians 1:6. Being confident of this very thing, that he which began a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. You know, if God brought you here this morning, and that's all that's necessary, if God brought you here this morning, God is able to take your life and make it what he wants it to be and carry you from now until eternity in his power. God is able. God can do that for you. You have to, within yourself, allow that to happen. The work has been accomplished. If he did it for me, he can do it for you. And what's more, if he did it for me, he wants to do it for you. But you yourself have to make that determination. Yes, I will become what God wants me to be. God, who started that good work in me, he is able to complete it. And it, by his grace and by his power, he will do it. He will do it. You know, there's a way that people go about church, and you know, sometimes they'll bow their heads and close your eyes and everybody, you know, think about a moment of reflection on your soul. I believe that by the Holy Spirit, God's already been sifting through your life. I really do. You know why? Because when Nathan's in church, that's what God's doing to me. Singing, and they're not even singing something, you know, down on the nitty-gritty, and God's already dealing with my heart. I've been in church singing about the joy of God, and God's whispering in my ear, "You liar. You're not happy. You got all these things in your life that you're distressed about." Not even preaching, just singing. Brother leading worship, God's dealing with my heart. I'm confident that the same God who put this message in my heart is dealing with your heart the whole time that I've been preaching it. And if there wasn't, it's because Nathan got in the way. All good things come from God.
Amen.
If God's dealing with your heart in a special way this morning, don't leave here in the same condition that you came.
That's right.
With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. And you know what? When I was driving that truck, it wasn't spiritual salvation that I needed. It wasn't. It was the most physical, carnal, fleshly thing. I needed deliverance right that moment. God is able. He's able to do it for me. He's able to do it for you. But you have to do it for yourself. You have to take hold of what he's prepared for you. So I'm going to dismiss in prayer. And if you would like to special prayer, you can come up. Me, Brother Terry, the elders will pray with you. But if you just like to pray where you are and consider yourself dismissed, don't go and say, oh, that was a good sermon. Nathan really, really got fired up. If you think that, maybe, man, I sure wish Nathan would shut up. I don't know. That's between you and God. But listen, don't let it just be something that you heard. Don't forget what it's about. Take it with you. Think on it. Let it be the basis, the foundation of fruit in your life.